Some have mentioned our Bible study we had Wednesday. We began our study in Romans. Brother Bill and I have been up and down and all around this book. It's not a book. It's a letter. It's an epistle. It really changes the view if you can read it as a letter and understand that this is Brother Bill said this is the greatest, the most wonderful, the most precise legal brief that's ever been written. As a lawyer, he enjoys it, and as a minister, and a preacher, and as a brother in Christ, we have rejoiced so much in these verses and these chapters. But I'm just going to just take the first 17 verses of Romans chapter 1. I want us to be able to think about how magnificent and glorious this is. In the background of this book, the Apostle Paul, and you go back into the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, and if you're going to do this, I'd recommend that you start it at chapter 17. And I'll go. The reason for that, Brother Keith, I want to go back there and read and see where the Apostle Paul is coming from, from that standpoint. Now, in chapter 17, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I can't say these words, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, Paul's custom, as we go through these various chapters, was that whenever he went into a city or a place, he would go in. He always sought out the brethren, and he went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, the Jews, as you may remember and understand, that the Jews were there were several sects of Jews. There was particularly the Pharisees and the Sadducees and various other strict sects of the Jews. And the Pharisees were those that they thought they were the righteous. They were the elite of the world. They gloried in themselves. They gloried in the fact that they were able to keep the law, and they looked down upon others. And as we read to you, I think it was the last time we were here, that Jesus said that when he went up, these two that went up to the temple to pray, and they did, they went up there, and that Jesus wrote this for the purpose of illustrating to us that there are some that think they're righteous and they're better than others. And this is the setting as the Apostle Paul goes in to this synagogue. This is what I want you to see, is he's going into these people that are not really all that interested in his message. Now notice it says, and Paul, as his manner was, as his custom was, he went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging. Now this is the message that Paul is going to bring to these Romans, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Now that's a mouthful in itself. When you think about, he said that he's opening and alleging. Now where was he opening and alleging from? We'll get to that in a little bit. But he was reading the Word of God. He was reading in the scriptures. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. When it says not a few, that means a whole bunch. Not a few. If it's not a few, we have a few here this morning. But if we had not a few, there'd be a lot more in here. But anyway, that's the way the apostle talks. And it says, but the Jews which believe not. Now, when we have the gospel preached, it's always basically going to have two responses. You're either going to believe it and rejoice in it, or you're going to reject it and be mad. You know, and that's one place when the apostle went in there, it says that they were cut to the heart and they jumped on him and was going to stone him. But in other places, it says they were pricked in the heart and they rejoiced in the gospel. So you're going to have these two responses no matter where you go and teach. The Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. I think they went out and hired some thugs, basically what they did. They went out there and they said, we've got this guy that we don't like and we want you to go mess him up. They said the lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. Now, if you've been watching the news, we saw some of that in Chicago. Because, I mean, just recently, here was the presidential candidate was scheduled to go in there, and these people that didn't agree with him went in there, and they just totally took it over and stopped it. There was a mob. It was a mob. It was an uproar. And that's what we see here. People madder than the Dickens. And it says, and set all the city in an uproar. And that, you could see, I mean, I don't know if the whole city of Chicago was like it, but there was a lot of folks that was mad. They were fighting. They were jumping on one another. But it says, and were in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring him out unto the people. They just went in there and they drug this man out of his own house. And they assaulted him, and when they had found them, found Paul and Silas, and drew Jason and certain, and these people, this Jason, they didn't do anything. Why are they mad at him? Because he believes like Paul. He must be bad if he believes like Paul. And so we can't find Paul and Silas, so we're just gonna beat up this guy. You know, we gotta have somebody to beat on. And so it says, brethren, unto the rulers and the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down have also come hither. I mean, when you preach the word of God, when you preach the gospel, it's going to turn their cart upside down. But you see, really, they were the ones that was upside down. I mean, the apostle Paul was right side up. Because he was preaching Jesus Christ and the gospel and saying that this is this Jesus that you crucified. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ, the anointed of God. He rose from the dead. And they did not like this fact that he was teaching this man who had been in the grave was now alive. Now that's the essence of it. And whom Jason hath received, and these all. See, Jason was guilty, Keith, by association. He was guilty of the same thing because he was believing this. I mean, if he could have found some more of these believers, they'd probably done the same thing to them. Whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. They're accusing them of treason and saying that these people are against Caesar. Well, you know, they weren't. Paul wasn't saying anything about Caesar at all. He wasn't blaspheming Caesar. He was just telling them that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And it says they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. Okay. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Again, you know, he didn't learn very fast. He said, my gosh, Paul, you just got out of one problem. Now you're going to go right back in there. You ought to go, I mean, maybe you ought to stay away from them Jews. They're kind of mean. They don't like you. Well, anyway, it says these, now I want you to notice the difference. There's a difference in this group. There's a difference in those that wanted to kill Paul in Thessalonica and these that he's here in Berea with. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What made them more noble? What was the difference? I mean, the difference, brothers and sisters, is very obviously right here in that they received the word with readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. And if you've got your mind somewhere else, and you've got your mind made up that you've got the right truth and everybody else is wrong but me, then if you got your mind already set, then you're not going to be able to hear what I'm going to tell you. See? Now, where is my authority? I'm not here telling you my opinion of this. Paul said, I'm not giving you my opinion. I want, if you, and you read the same Bible as I do. You got the same book as I do. I mean, I'm reading out of the prophets in Genesis, and I'm reading out of the book of Moses and Psalms, and I'm telling you what the Bible says about it, and you're trying to kill me for doing what, for basically just teaching the, what the Bible says. I mean, what made you so mad? And these people, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and here's the key, brother. And they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, I have no authority to preach or teach anything to you that's not according to this book. But if I can show you in the book where this is, and you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, then let's sit down and reason together where? Out of the scriptures. I need, if you're going to talk to me about the Bible, I want you to bring your Bible with you, and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about it. Now, you may have a different view than I do. We may sit there and discuss these things, and we may just have to agree to disagree. But we need to be cordial, we need to be loving, and we don't need to be fighting each other over the Word of God. That's what they were doing. They were just madder than hornets because this Paul was teaching something they didn't, that was contrary to their customs and their traditions. Therefore, many of them believed. Also, of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few, not a few, there's a whole bunch of them. But when the Jews, now I'm going to stop right there, but I commend these chapters to you. Just go right here in 17 and you read all the way through chapter 28 and you're going to find the story of Paul's journey. All right. Now then let's read Romans 1 with that background. And the servant of Jesus, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's key. We're going to talk about the Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by which we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith, among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken throughout all the, and throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer, making request, if by any means that I now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but I was led hither, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as I among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready now to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now that's a lot of reading. That's just to verse 17. Now we got a whole lot more. But we're not going to talk about those right now. But what I want us to think about, the Apostle Paul here said, I have had a great desire to see you. Okay? Who's he writing to? You know, when we read these verses, it's so important to see, the salutation is very wonderful. Paul says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. That word servant literally means a bond slave. I'm not a servant to any man, but I am a bond slave, a servant of Jesus Christ. And he says, I was called to be an apostle. I didn't just go out here and decide that I wanted to be an apostle. I can't understand why anybody would want to be a preacher. I really don't. I mean, if you look at, I mean, from a natural standpoint, and I've said this to the young men, the worst place in the world you can be is be in the ministry and not have a call to it. I mean, that is, you're going to be a detriment to the people and to yourself and everybody else around you. Amen. Because you're trying to do something you're not supposed to be doing. Right? Now then, the Apostle Paul didn't choose himself to be an apostle. And if I'm called of God and you're called of God, you didn't call yourself and you didn't choose yourself. I mean, there is a lot. I mean, Brother Oldman Cummings used to say this, Sister Joe said, Primitive Baptists can't make preachers any better than any of the rest of those people. I mean, and there's a lot of people that want them. There's a lot of wannabes. There's a lot of people that think they are. There's some preachers that's been called by their wives. And my wife never did want me to be a preacher. Matter of fact, it was a big problem for us for the first few years of my ministry. Now, notice it says, he was called to be an apostle. The word apostle, I mean, there was, I mean, people say, well, how many apostles are there? 12? 11? 13? 14? You see, Jesus was an apostle. You know Jesus was an apostle? He was the apostle, and he was the apostle and high priest of our profession. The word apostle simply means one who has been sent. He is sent. And the apostles, these 12 apostles that Jesus called, they were disciples as well as apostles. They were disciples first. You know what a disciple is? A what? That's true. That's true. But it's more than that. A disciple is a pupil. The word literally means a pupil. One who is a learner. One who is, in order for you to be a disciple, Brother Keith, you got to be willing to be taught. Woo! To be a disciple. Now, John had disciples. Ones that was following after John's teachings. And when John was put in prison, his disciples were gathered around the prison. And they were sitting there and comforting John and praying for John. He had disciples, followers, yes, a follower, but learners of his doctrine. And at one time, John sent one of his disciples to Jesus to say, go over there and see and ask him this question. Are you the one that should come, or should we look for another? It's an amazing thing that John was over here in prison, but he's now saying, maybe I was mistaken. Maybe it wasn't him after all. After all, I'm over here in prison about to have my head took off. So Jesus didn't say, yeah, go tell John I'm him. He said, you go show John these things. The deaf hear, blind see, the sick are healed, the lame are walking, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Wow. The poor have the gospel. Do you understand, dear brother, that he put the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, right there as one of the elements of miracles that was to be shown to John? The gospel, preaching of the gospel, is a miracle. And if you understand it, isn't it a great miracle? When you understand the wonderful blessings of this. So the Apostle Paul said, I was separated unto the gospel. And you read that. And it was, as I was, I kind of got sidetracked last night in my study. I read all from 17 all the way to the end of 17 all the way to the end of Acts chapter 28. And it was a refreshing read. I mean, just really refreshing to see the things that Paul went through. And it kind of puts these things in perspective. I don't believe that Paul has ever been to Rome. When he wrote this book, he'd never been to Rome? Huh? You go over there to the 16th chapter, and if you have one of these Cambridge Bibles or one of these other Bibles, it'll tell you that this book, this letter, it says was written to the Romans from Corinth and sent by Phoebe, Who's Phoebe? A woman. A servant of the Lord. And it says, written to the Romans from Corinth and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church of Corinthia. All right, now, the Apostle Paul, this is a great mystery. This is one of the things that we kind of hit on Wednesday night, saying, well, who's the pastor of Roman church? How did they get the gospel? I mean, there's no record anywhere. I mean, we know that there was a church over there because Paul wrote to them. He wrote to them, but he's never been there before. He has never, but he has a great desire to go there. And that's what he says down here. He says, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Now he says, I'm making requests of you. I want you to pray for me. See, I've had desire to come to you, but I've been hindered here and there. I'd go from place, and you know, I ended up in prison over there in Philippi, and then they throwed me in jail again, and they beat me up, and they throwed me down into the gully, and every time I turn around, they're just whooping up on me. And that's my words. But this is the thing that Paul said, I was led hither. I was hindered. I have a desire to be with you. Paul wanted to go to Rome. But you know what? He went to Rome, Brother John, and the Romans paid for it. I mean, when he was over there somewhere around the 20th, somewhere in that area, he was went into into Ephesus. That's what I'm trying to get to. He went to Ephesus. And he was preaching there. He said, there is no God. There is no God that dwells in temples made with hands. Woo, man, did he ever get in trouble. Because you talk about a riot. I mean, he set the whole city in an uproar again. Why? Because all he was doing, he says, why is it so strange to you that I preach right out of the book, the resurrection of the dead? I mean, and by the way, he figured it out that there's some of these people here that some of them are Pharisees and some of them are Sadducees. And so he started teaching, he split them. But there was this great goddess called Diana. And everybody there worshiped. And not only that, they had silversmiths. They were making a lot of money off of off of making idols and gods and different things. Paul comes in here and he says, there is no God that lives in temples made with hands. What is he saying here? You're worshiping that idol you got there? There ain't God. There's only one living, true and living God, and you're worshiping an idol. And they got so mad, they said that, and the whole city was in an uproar because Paul had simply said to them, this idol Diana here is nothing but stone and rock and whatever it is. Now, those people that really got mad, they didn't really care you know what they were really worried about, Joe? Taking our money. You have destroyed our craft. And our whole economy is based upon Diana and worshiping Diana and all these things. They would have pulled him in half, literally. Pulled him in half. I mean, they were pulling him here, they're pulling him here. And so the town clerk got in there in the mix. He said, y'all better be careful here. This man, you're doing things that is contrary to our customs. This is not the way we do things. We don't go in here and grab a guy and throw him in jail. And Paul says, I'm a Roman. Boy, that got their attention. They thought they were just messing with another Jew, you know. You know, Jews didn't mean that much to them people. They just didn't. I mean, to kill a Jew, that's the way it was then. It's the way it is now. A lot of people think it's, Jews are just kind of subhuman people. Well, when you think about that, you couldn't condemn a Roman. You could not condemn a Roman without first of all, you have to be able to face your accusers. You have to be able to go to court, and you've got to have all these witnesses. And they have beaten him. And boy, he put the fear into them. And they couldn't get rid of him fast enough. Well, anyway, because of the trouble, they sent him by night. Now this is all in Acts. They take him by night. And they run him out of town. I mean, he had a nephew, by the way. He had a nephew that heard these people. They said they took a vow. These men, they got together in a group, and they said, we will not eat. We will not do anything else until we have killed that Paul. Well, Paul's nephew got the word of that. And he goes in and he tells the captain, he goes in, and they round up. I mean, you think about, read over there. I mean, they had a big, huge army that they took him off, and they took him to anyway, they took him to a different city. Can't remember right now. But there was this governor down there named Festus. Now, Festus, he was a Roman ruler. But anyway, Festus, as it goes, he heard Paul's message. And lo and behold, Festus began to think, yeah, I think he's probably right. And Festus, he says, okay, I'm just going to let you go. I mean, I'm not going to let you go, but I'm going to let you stay here, and you can teach and preach and so forth. Then there comes this great guy, this another great king that comes down named Agrippa. Well, Festus said, okay, I will hear your cause, but you got to wait until the people up there in Jerusalem comes down here and makes the accusation against you. And he later, when he found out where he was from, he said, okay, what do you do? What do you think about this, Paul? We're going to go back up to Jerusalem, and we're going to have a court up at Jerusalem, and I'm going to have your accusers there. And he says, I'm not going back up there. He said, I'm a Roman. I demand to go to Caesar. So he appealed unto Caesar, and that's how he got to go to Rome. I mean, I've said all that to tell you that Paul was, he said, the Lord said, Paul, you're going to Rome. And when the Lord tells you something, you're going to go to Rome.
Is there any, if the Lord says you're going to go to Rome, or you're going to go to this place, is there anything that can keep you from doing it, from going there? I mean, is there somebody going to be able to kill Paul before he gets over there? I mean, God has a purpose for him in Rome, and he's going to go there. And as Paul goes on down through the story, the journey goes on, and they get on the ship, and they just go all, I mean, it took a long time for him to get from Jerusalem, or wherever he was there, and go all the way across to Rome. Several, I mean, maybe even a year or so. I don't know how long it was. But my point in all of that, dear, is to tell you that the Apostle Paul hasn't been here yet. Now, how do you know about all this stuff? He says, I want to come and I want to teach you concerning Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, the Apostle Paul is going to teach. He's going to go over there, and this is in Daniel, and it's in all of this Samuel and all of these places, that the Messiah must come out of David's genealogy, has to come out of Judah. And it says that he was the son of David according to the flesh, but he was declared to be, I want you to get this, declared to be the Son of God. The Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Now, I've spent a lot of time this morning kind of laying all this out for you. I hope you'll get so excited about this and go back and read the background and understand that Paul, it took him a long time to get to Rome. Now, if you go back up to the last chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm going to just read a few verses. It says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and great reasoning among themselves. The Jews were always arguing with him about it. I'm in the 28th chapter of Acts, just the very, verse 30. And Paul dwelt, he's at Rome. He's finally made it to Rome. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, which were with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now I want you to see that Paul, what a great access, what a great privilege it is for him to be a prisoner. You know, this is what he said. He said, the things that's happened to me has fallen out to the glory of God. He said, all of these things that's happened to me, I am here, and he's not only able to hear and to have people come and visit him, he's preaching to the household of Caesar. I mean, and kings and all these different people, they come in and he has have access. He wouldn't have had access to any of those people had not all these things happened to him. So Paul's not, he's not worried about this. He's glorying and there's no record in history or anywhere else that he ever left Rome. This is his final thing. But he was here, and they eventually beheaded him. But this is his last stay right here. And by the way, while he was here during these 2 years, he wrote Ephesians. He wrote Philippians. He writes Philemon. He writes Colossians. All of these epistles, all of these said, Paul's not sitting around moaning and groaning and wishing he wasn't in prison and blaming God for all of his mishaps. No, he was glorying in the Lord. He was preaching and teaching and doing all that. He had a captive audience. People come in there and there were so many conversions in this place and the Roman brethren. Now these people that it tells you how that when he got there at Rome, he went and he met with the brethren. And by the way, the pastor of the Roman church,
pastor of this Roman church. I said, who was it? Yeah, I don't want to get into that right now. But the pastor of Jerusalem was James, the brother of Jesus. But anyway, this is who he got into it with over there in Acts 17 and 18 and 19. But now I've really messed this up, guys. But I want you to understand that this book has great history. And when you think about that, the Apostle Paul, it says, I want you to notice, by whom we have received the apostleship for obedience unto the faith. When you see the word faith with the definite article in front of it, we're not talking about the faith in you or the faith of the gospel or the faith of God. We're talking about the word of God, the principles, the doctrines. As Jude was saying, he said concerning that, how does that go? He says, I'm going to have to read it. I tell you, I should have spent more time last night instead of reading Acts, I guess. But anyway, I want to, in Jude, I should be able to quote this, y'all, but I can't. It's Jude chapter. Jude, there's only one chapter in there. But verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So when we're talking about the faith, when we see the word, the definite article in front of faith, I want you to understand that it's talking about these principles of doctrine and scriptures, the word of God, the faith. This is the faith. Now, when the Apostle Paul, he goes into to the young man Timothy, and he says, what does he say? Preach the word. Well, what is he supposed to preach? He's supposed to preach from this. He preaches the gospel. See, the word, when you see the word in the Bible, you better need to know, you need to know what word it is, or you're going to find yourself in big trouble. There is the word of God, which is the living word. There in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The spiritual, the living word, the logos of God in the scripture. But then there is this, the word. And then there's the preached word. So when he says preach the word, I am to preach to you about the living word from this written word. I'm to preach to you the gospel word. And so when you see the word, you need to see what it's speaking about. So now I've said all that to get down to another point, and we're just about out of time. Notice it says, to all that be in Rome. Now what if it put a period there? Well, then it would have been all to everybody in the whole city. But Paul wasn't writing to everybody in the whole city. He was writing to the church at Rome. He was writing to them, and it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Okay, that kind of narrows it a little bit, doesn't it? There's a lot of people that love God. There's a lot of folks that believe in God, but they don't, they're all these Jews, Brother Keith, they believed in Jehovah God as strongly as you and I do, but they did not believe that Jesus was God. See? Now, it says, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Wow. They were called. That calling is the effectual calling, the spiritual calling. They were called by the living word to be a sanctified person. That's what the word saint means. They were sanctified by God. So we're talking about those that love God and those who are the saints of God. He says, I want to write to you. Here's a beautiful thought. Grace and peace. Now think about those two wonderful words. Grace and peace to you and from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And notice this. Now, how did he know this? Now notice, he said that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. This people, I mean, Rome was a center of culture. It was the center of the whole kingdom, the Roman Empire. And a lot of people went in and out of Rome. A lot of folks that had never been to Rome, and they go and they hear, there is this church over there in Rome. They are worshipers of Jesus Christ. They are on fire for the Lord. It says, your faith, I want you to see this, your faith. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we go down to Georgia, to Alabama, to Florida, different places, and you say, have you ever heard of that church up there at Perth, Kansas, Oxford, Kansas? He said, those folks up there, they really love the Lord. And everywhere you go, they're talking about the Oxford church. See, that's what they, everywhere they went. Anybody that's ever been to Rome, you're going to hear them talk about this church. He said, your faith is spoken up throughout the whole world. And it may be just the Roman world. I don't know. But it's wherever they went. People was talking about Rome. The church. The Christians, brother. I want you to understand, Sister Joe, they were talking about those who were the loved of God. Those that loved God and those who were the saints of God. And these people were gathering together and they were worshiping the Savior Jesus Christ. And this is why the Apostle Paul was so anxious to get there. He wanted to be there so he could impart to them and establish them in the doctrines of truth. Because by the way, in the last chapter he says, there's going to be some people coming in that's going to try to draw you away from this. I'm just shotgunning, but I want you to see this. Now, I beseech you, now this is his closing statement in this letter. He's closing out. He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Mark them. That don't mean put some kind of physical mark on them. Mark them. I mean, in chapter 16, verse 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. You don't let anybody persuade you away from this teaching. And you not only, you mark them and you avoid them. That don't mean you go out here and you write letters all over the country saying, oh God, that Alan Daniels, he is such a hypocrite. He's such a heretic. Don't have anything to do with it. You know how I mark somebody? I mark them by listening to them. And if they're teaching things according that is contrary to the Word of God, if they come in here and started teaching no-hellism, I'm to mark them and I'm to avoid them. I'm not to have any fellowship with them. Now that's what he says, they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are not serving Jesus. They're not serving the cause of Christ, and they're causing divisions and offenses. And it says they, and this is basically what those people over there in Thessalonica were. He says their God is their belly. That don't mean this. That means their appetite, their covetousness, and all of the things there, the things of the material. And it's for, it says, they come in and it says, but their own belly, that's who they're serving, but good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. You see that? You see how this word of God has, your obedience, I've been hearing all over the place about your obedience to the word. Don't let anybody sway you from that foundation. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. You stay with the Word of God. You keep preaching the Word of God. And you don't have to back up at all. You don't have to apologize for it. But God will bruise Satan under you if you preach the Word and stay with the Word. And that's where he's coming from in this wonderful book. I am so excited about us starting it again. I think we've been through it again in Oklahoma City, but now I want you to get it just a little bit more. Going back to chapter 1, I'm sorry, about the how scattered I am, but it says, for God is my witness. Did you get that? God's my witness. If God's your witness,
Who can contradict you if God is your witness?
He is my witness, and I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Now, I want you to see down in verse 12, that he says, that I may that you may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me.
You see, we have the word mutual. We had a mutual agreement.
Brother Keith said, "Brother, I think a lot of you, and I love you a lot." And I said, "The feeling is mutual.
That means we share the same thing." And Apostle Paul says, "I am thankful to God for your mutual faith. You and I, we share in this gospel together. We have the same belief. We have the same God. We believe that Jesus is our Lord." And it says a mutual faith. We have this mutual faith.
"Now I would not that you should be ignorant, brethren, that oft times I have purposed to come unto you." And he goes on in this verse 16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I want you to understand that this gospel that we're talking about is to no one but the believer. It will absolutely have no effect on you if you're not a believer. And when I'm talking about a believer, I believe we're speaking here of believing in God, first of all. If you have been born of the Spirit of God, if you have been regenerated, the gospel can be preached to you. But if you have not, it's going to be foolishness to you. So when he's talking here, that he says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel." Now, if you're going to know about the righteousness of God and about Jesus Christ and about what he's done and all, and the resurrection and redemption and sanctification and all these things, you're going to have to be able to understand that it comes out of here. It's not somebody's opinion about something. It is that which is written in the Word of God. And the gospel, in the preached word, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. My mutual faith to yours. My faith, your faith. And if you've got the same faith that I do, which is from God, and you have the interest of the Word of God, said, I'm not interested in my opinion or your opinion. You know, that's what Brother Bill says. I don't want your opinion. I got one of them. I'm not interested in your opinion. I want to know what the book says. And that's, if we can sit down and we can reason out of this book, and there's no contradictions in here. If you find something in one part of the book that seemingly says something contrary to another part of the book, then the contradiction's not in here. It's in here. And we need to. And that's why Sister Joe was so important when they went over there to Berea. It said they received the word with readiness. They didn't get mad at Paul. They made, "This is something new. I hadn't heard this, but I can argue it's in the Bible." That's why one guy, he said, "I don't believe in that predestination." I said, "That's between you and the Lord. Because I can show you in the Bible where it's taught. Now, your argument is not with me, it's with God. Because this is his word." Now, if you're not willing to sit down, and first of all, we've got to agree. If we're going to discuss this, we've got to agree on one thing. And we can start. That this is inspired. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the, who? The man of God. This is to the man of God. This is to those who have been born again. And if you haven't been born again, you're going to be mad, you're going to be ready to kill me. And there's a lot of folks, Brother Keith, that's really willing to kill you. I mean, they're doing it right now. I could not no more take this book over into Iraq or Iran or any of those countries over there and just read it
I couldn't even take it over there and read it without being persecuted and perhaps killed. There is no Christians in Saudi Arabia. They might be some hiding in a cave somewhere, but if there's any over there, they're not openly professing it, because if you do, they'll kill you. They know Christians. You don't have a Christian church in Saudi Arabia, Brother Keith.
Well, that's true.
You know what? Because it's not allowed.
That is true.
Not allowed. They'll either run you out, they'll either convert to their religion, or they're going to kill you. Not any homosexuals over there either. That's just free. Because they kill them too. Non-tolerance. I appreciate your kind attention. I have not preached very good today, but I hope that some of the things that I've said will make you think and cause you to go and search the scriptures. Read Acts. Read the whole book of Acts, but particularly 17, starting in chapter 17, maybe even 16, because that's where they get thrown into the Philippian jail. You know, Paul said, I have a desire to go over there to Macedonia, but the Spirit hindered me. And he said, go over here, this other place. And they went and they got thrown in jail for preaching this. Anyway, that's where, by the way, there was a woman over there named Lydia. Paul baptized her and her household. And then there was this Philippian jailer. Paul baptized them too. And they were the first members of the church of Philippi. May God bless you, sir, forever.